Hi, thanks so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. It is estimated that there are some 300,000 stateless children in the country. That's data going back to 2016. We don't have any current figures at the moment, but many of these children that are deemed stateless are not foreigners. They're not refugees. Many of them were born in the country and have been living in Malaysia for most of their lives. What can we do to ensure the rights of these children are upheld? Let's speak now to Professor Datuk Dr. Nur Azia Awal. She's a commissioner at the Human Rights Commission of Malaysia, better known as SUHAKAM. And she looks at children's rights. Datuk Azia, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Now, I'm just wondering whether policymakers in Malaysia understand or have a clear understanding of the current situation regarding statelessness and how it impacts children specifically.
Well, I hope they actually understand what is going on, because if the numbers is correct, as per 2016, there's a lot of children who are stateless. And of course, from time to time, the government deny that Malaysia has, if at all, have no stateless children. So we would like to you know, for them to look at these figures that you just mentioned. So I do not understand why there's that difficulty of recognizing the fact that there are children who are undocumented, and when they are undocumented, they could be stateless. They don't have citizenship, and there are also children who have document, but in their birth certificate, as such, were written they are non-citizen. So these are the things that deny these children their rights, because if you look at, I mean, Malaysia has been a member of the CRC, and we have signed and ratified CRC with reservations, of course. But, that does not mean that we are not bound by the basic principles of CRC. And the four main principles, number one is, of course, non-discrimination. And that is so important, because when you deny these children right to citizenship, you are actually discriminating them, because without document, without citizenship, they are denied the rights to, in particular, rights to education, right to medical care, rights to be to be part and parcel of the society, because they in fact can't even move anywhere, because if they are undocumented, they could be arrested and they could be taken to various detention centers. And what are we supposed to do with them, because they do not have any documents?
I mean, it seems bewildering that, one, the government would either be in denial about the enormity of the problem, or two, not recognize that it seems like nobody benefits from creating a huge class of people who are so vulnerable and whose potential will not be realized as a consequence. I mean, have you been able to speak to the ministers, the competent ministers, and ask them why they persist in taking this policy approach?
Well, at the moment, since I was appointed 2019, September, I have not been able to have an audience or even meet the minister to discuss this issue. So far, we have been able to invite various officers to our dialogue with NGOs or even with children. But the thing is, officers are bound by certain policies. And what worries me is that, to me, when a lot of parents and children actually complain to Office of the Children Commissioner about issue of citizenship, main complaint is that they feel that, I mean, I feel the same way, that the ministry do not have a proper SOP in terms of which one, how to apply for citizenship, how long does it take, why are we waiting in a queue, and the response are really, taking such a long time for them to respond to every application. So what we actually want is just tell us what is the proper SOP in terms of if this children is undocumented, how do we make sure that the child have a document and what are the procedures? And then if the child is in the birth certificate, it actually stated that the child is non-citizen. Why is it so? How can we make the child citizen? Because the child is born. I mean, these children do not, you know, sort of fly and fall off from the sky. They are there. They are born in Malaysia. They've been brought up, and some are now coming today. Some are over 18, and we are worried about them. And these children include those children who are in the children home that belongs to the our welfare department. So I do not see why. So these are the things that I think we have not been, and we have written letters. I have written many letters to the minister, and so far have no response.
May interrupt and ask you to elaborate a little bit on that. You know, what would you like to see in terms of a policy and even legal change to facilitate that access? Children who don't have documents, let's just say they are not, they don't have proper papers to prove that they were born here. How can we ensure that they get, you know, their birthright, their citizenship?
Surely, even in JPM, they have a policy. Every children that is born must be registered. So, okay, let's say a child is being, you know, found in your doorsteps, and you take the child to the police station, and then you make a police report, then take the child to the hospital, all examine and whatnot, and take the child home because you wanted, you say, well, I would like to adopt the child. So then the proper procedure would come in. Then when the child is being, even now, when a child is being adopted with a documentation birth certificate saying that the child is foreigner, I mean, non-Malaysians, and that there is a procedure. So, and that, even that, you know, after they have a letter, a court order that the child is being adopted by so-and-so, the child's citizenship is still not Malaysian. So a lot of adoptive parents have to wait. They have to apply, and they wait between 5 to 7 years, some up to 10 years, before the child being made a citizen. So, I mean, this is what I meant by you need to know what is the procedure. If you have an SOP, and then you probably will know, you can have an estimation of what we need to do. So if that is very clear, then it'd be much easier. For example, when a child comes from a foreign mother, for example, a Malaysian mother, but a foreign father, same. A lot of cases where they were born abroad, they took their father's citizenship. But there's a lot of Malaysian mother who have brought the child home and wanted to apply for Malaysian citizen. If you look at the provision of the Constitution, it's very clear, if the parents are Malaysian, the child should be Malaysian. But the thing is, then they were talking about we should amend the Constitution. Do we really need to amend the Constitution? If it's just a discretion of the minister, then put it on papers that this is our policy, these are the SOP, and at least they would know how long they have to wait in order to get a citizenship.
Right. Dr. Asia, thank you so much. Sorry, Sharad, I think we've run out of time, but thank you so much, Dr. Asia, for speaking with us tonight. We appreciate your time and sharing your insights. Time goes quickly on this show. Yeah. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off the evening.
We will be back with you same time tomorrow. Till then, have a great night.